Hi, men. I'm Jonathan Daugherty, the author of Grace-Based Recovery, and I'd love for you to join us in one of our upcoming online study groups. These 8-week groups take you through all the key principles of recovery from the Grace-Based Recovery book in a small group setting with other men on the same journey. The format is really simple and secure. We keep the groups to 10 men max, and we meet online in a private video room, so your story is safe with us. The groups are led by men who have traveled this road themselves and know firsthand how grace is the true engine of recovery and life transformation. I encourage you to take your next best step to freedom, joy, and peace. Register now for the next Grace-Based Recovery online study group. We can't wait to connect with you. To register, go to bebroken.org/GBR-OSG. That's bebroken.org/GBR-OSG or call us at 210-822-8201. Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the PSR podcast. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In today's episode, Stephen Cervantes and I dive into the critical topic of expectations in marriage, focusing on the difference between assumed and discussed expectations. We share lots of personal stories and insights, highlighting how unspoken assumptions can lead to misunderstandings and conflicts. Our conversation focuses on the importance of open communication and dialogue to foster a healthier relationship. I even reflect on my own marriage, illustrating how discussing expectations can transform a relationship from merely coexisting to truly sharing life. We encourage you, if you're married, to engage in meaningful discussions about expectations to avoid the pitfalls of unspoken assumptions. For daily insights from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For additional resources, visit bebroken.org or check out all the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And friends, as always, I'm going to ask you to please rate and review the podcast after listening, because this really does help others to find it. Now, let's unpack today's conversation in hopes of bringing more harmony to your marriage. All right, Dr. Stephen Cervantes.
Hey, we're back. Glad to be here. Excited.
Yes. Well, it is by the time these air spring will have sprung in Texas, and it's always a fun time of year. You know, those 2 weeks of spring before we hit summer, because it always gets so hot so fast here. But
it gets hot fast.
But man, yes. Nothing keeps you from wearing your white crisp shirt. You know, you're back to your uniform.
There you go. This
your podcast is the uniform. So anyway,
that's too good. I may have not told the story in a while, but it sounds like a good time to. I used to own 25. I love white shirts. They have to be cotton, you know, easy, you know, wash and wear, not too much ironing involved. And I looked at my closet one day. I had 25 white shirts. I said, "Why? Why?" It's like I got rid of them. It's like, but I don't know. It was something I was collecting and enjoying. And it's cool, it's crisp, it's light. We're in the South, you know.
Right, yeah.
It's like a uniform, but who wears white shirts anymore? The old guy.
That's right. Know. No, it works. It works for you. So I was, you know, we pull off of your website, drmarriage.org. You do a daily thought, and it's a great way. By the way, men out there, it's really a tool for you to use in your marriage.
Amen.
It's something very short. It's going to be a thought on a particular topic. And it's really for you to then be able to take that and say, hey, to your wife and say, I want to read this to you and us have a dialogue about it and just talk about it. So it's a great entry point for just having conversations with your wife about a daily thought.
Date night, evening conversation. Yeah. Your wife says, talk to me. You go, what do I talk about? Pull up drmarriage.org, read the thought for the day.
And some of them, you know, some of them are heavier than lighter than others. So just take that into consideration
That's
if you're
true.
On date night.
That's very true. Pick a light one that'll create.
But this might be actually a good date night conversation, because the heading for it was discuss your expectations. And so I want us to dive into that, because expectations are a big deal in a marriage relationship.
I mean, a lot of times we talk about that in terms of like before you got married. And, you know, what were your expectations? And then what did that look like after you got married? And one of the things that we realize very, very quickly is that a good number of our expectations on both sides, husband and wife, were not discussed, but they were absolutely assumed. There were expectations. And that's why I think a lot of times you think about any sitcom that's been made on TV, and it's all about, you know, expectations that weren't met. It's all about miscommunication and all of that. So let's talk about the difference maybe between assumed expectations and discussed expectations.
So I'm always looking for a concept to just to play with and think about. Because to be successful in life, you have to have good language and good concepts. And what helps us run our soul well, right? Versus troubled soul, can't rest, in torment, versus what are teachings and understandings that help us run our emotional system in harmony with our spiritual system, right? We're always trying to be God's creation versus these human beings battling themselves and each other, not restful in our spirit. So this one, I think, creates chaos in your soul and in your relationship and in with your spouse. Because I'm listening to this podcast, and his name is Noah Herron. He's a speaker, author. He's given a talk, and he said he went to premarriage counseling. And he heard the counselor, I don't know his name, say, there's a difference between assumed expectations and discussed expectations. Then he burst out laughing. And then I burst out laughing because I started thinking about what did we assume was going to happen and what did we talk about happening? And let's just be honest. Talking to our spouses and getting upset, getting them upset, is something we never want to do.
Right.
So it's better to assume things. At least that's what we think.
We think it is, yeah.
You know, instead of discuss it, because some things are hard and people are disappointed, let down, frustrated. It didn't go out the plan. It didn't work. So we assume a lot of things, and really, I think to get married, you have to assume good things.
I hope, yeah. I mean, otherwise,
you're not getting married if you have assume a lot of bad things are going to happen. You fill in the blanks, and I've often thought this. You find somebody you like, there are a lot of things you don't know, so you just fill in all the positives you can think of about them.
Right.
And then you go into a relationship. Isn't exactly. that how we do it? We're not thinking about, well, this is going to be hard. I have to struggle. I have to sacrifice. No, we're in love. And especially in premarriage counseling, and they're young, and they don't know much. And they go, oh, my goodness. You like Coca-Cola. I like Coca-Cola. You like pizza. I like pizza. We should get married. This is going to be great. I mean, it's sort of that light. And then, you know, we get to the end of the month, and there's no money, and we're both right. sick of and we didn't plan, and I don't understand why you're a slob and you leave your clothes around. I put all mine up, and wait a minute here.
Yeah.
I thought we were alike.
And I think what you're pointing out, it's good to note too that, you know, listen, not all assumed expectations are negative or bad or horrible. And so I think even this conversation we're going to have here is not trying to say assumed expectations are evil. And discussed okay. expectations are good. It's just we're trying to highlight what the difference is going to be. And because one of the things that you said there is, think about it. Yeah, you're right. We don't get married because we have expectations of catastrophe or of heartache or of right. betrayal. Or no, we have these expectations of we're going into our happy ever after, right?
Right.
Everything's going to be good. Now, I think even when we're young, we know to a degree, at least in our heads, that not everything will be perfect in our relationship. But we're still, the assumptions that we have is, even for those areas that are going to be hard, we'll make it because we both like Coke. because we both, you know, there's right. a sense in which there's a sweet naivety.
That's right.
To that. And, but what we're going to get to
and
here.
And it's sweet and it's good.
And so right? what we're trying to say is, yes, assumed expectations, even when they're good, it's like there's still something that is missing in that. Because like you said, when we get on the other side of marriage and realize, okay, we've gotten to the end of the month and there's no money left. And we thought we had this budget together and we thought that we were on the same page with money. And you spent how much on what?
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a second. That was not part of my assumed expectation of how we were going to manage money.
Yes.
And then you hit a real snag in the relationship.
And it goes about time. How are we going to spend the time? What are we going to do on the weekends? Aren't we going to play all weekend? Oh, we got to clean house mm-hmm. on the weekend? What? Wait, you know, I thought we could just go. We're free. And yeah, we could just go anywhere. No, what do you mean? We've got a budget and plan. And what do you mean? We have to go check on your parents or what? All these things have to be talked through and worked out. So if you think about it, every one of us has lived on some assumed expectations in our relationships. Because think about it, do you have to work out every detail of every problem? I mean, that's going to be a nightmare, right? But there are things that I think will happen a certain way, and then they don't happen.
Mm.
And then, man, I'm a little irritated, disappointed. Or I thought the situation was going to play out like this. I had it in my mind. We were going to go to the beach. We were going to go straight to the beach. And we were going to pack some things and set up and enjoy. You want to go to the hotel? And you want to go set up everything in the hotel room and unpack. You don't want to go to the beach right now?
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were going to the beach. I drove all these out. I want to go to the beach. And then I'll mess with setting up. Now we have a conflict.
Yeah, and there's degrees to all of this, right? I mean, some of our assumed expectations are around something, things that are relatively small, right? And probably aren't going to have huge consequence. But then we've got other assumed expectations that it's like, oh, these go deep. Like, we don't realize how much our family of origin has influenced what we think
yes.
a relationship should be. And what are the roles of a husband and wife in a relationship? And you bring those assumed expectations in, and then it's like, you might have the assumed, a husband might have the assumed expectation of, well, my wife is supposed to be a great cook and she's the one that's supposed to always be the one cooking.
Right.
And it's like, she might come from a family where her dad was an amazing guy on the grill. And she's like, it's I true. Have an expectation at least half of these meals are going to be, you know, cooked by my husband.
I can't believe you say that because I really heard a married couple a long time ago. It was dinner time and they both went to the kitchen. They both went and sat at the table and said, well, what are you going to cook?
Yeah.
No. What are you going to cook? My mother did all the cooking. Well, my dad worked in a restaurant. He did all the cooking.
Mm-hmm.
No. Who cooks, the mother or the dad?
Mm-hmm.
Or do they both share? I mean, after a while, you get a rhythm. But in the beginning, there's this shock.
And you don't realize until you get into marriage some of the degree to which these expectations are assumed.
Yes.
Like they just go deep and you just thought, well, this is the way it's supposed to be.
A lot of those assumed expectations are going to create problems. That's the point of all this. If we don't repeat anything, your assumed expectations are going to cause problems because the other person is not assuming the same thing. And I have a little example. Don't forget what you're about to say. But it was like this couple was fighting over the kitchen sponge. Okay? The sponge is only for the dishes. That's it. Only the sponge is for the dishes. Put them aside. Oh, no. You can use the sponge to clean out the sink and wipe the stove. No. We only use the sponge on the dishes. Don't you know that?
Yeah.
No, you can use the same sponge. You can wipe the stovetop. And it's like, I had this assumption that I was trained in when you say family of origin.
And that's just it. The assumptions, you will learn the depth of how deeply those assumptions go when that expectation is not met, because you'll have either an outburst, or if it's something that you don't hold super deeply, you go, wow, I didn't realize that. But right. a lot of these, they go so deep that when the assumption is not, of the expectation isn't met, then it's, you know, World War III, there's a huge explosion that happens. And I think that's the main thing that I want to share about this idea of assumptions, is they're just that. They are only in your mind. Until they have actually been articulated and communicated,
yes,
you are holding them in your mind with a particular value, and that may not be the value that the other person has.
So it's a thought without any action, mm-hmm. right? I've had this thought, and until I tell you and we go negotiating, it's just my thought. And I have this outcome that I want, and if I don't get it, then I'm going to be upset. But I may not express it to you, but I thought it was going to go this way. And then when it doesn't, so there's this assumption thing that we have to talk out for two different people with two different backgrounds using language differently. We have to be very careful, because the assumptions in your mind is where we're going to trip over each other.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the, just to share maybe just another assumption and kind of the way this works, one of the things that, you know, my wife was really frustrated about and still is to some degree is that, you know, one of her assumed expectations is that she should never have to tell me specifically what she wants for her birthday. Like, I should just know.
Yeah.
And that's an assumed expectation. Her assumed expectation is I should be so in tune, yes, with everything that's going on. And now there's an aspect of that where it's like, hey, I want to be more in tune. I want to be able to pick up on cues and things. But in her mind, it was like, you should just know me so well that you literally are in my brain, in my thoughts, and you know exactly what I want. And over the years, I've had to just basically tell her, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I need concrete data. Like, you need to tell me what you want.
Right. But isn't that a beautiful line right there when you hear, you should know.
Mm.
Well, how do I know? I'm not in your head. But I assume, and this is like a definition of love, if you love me, you will know me. Well, it's like, when did that happen? I love you, but...
How can I know you?
Yeah, I didn't walk life with you. I don't until you tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And then this other assumed expectation dilemma is I create a great plan in my head, but I don't tell you.
Mm.
And then we go execute it. And then you start giving me feedback, and it's not consistent. You know, it's funny because you hear this also from guys saying, well, we already talked about this. And she goes, when did we talk about it? Well, I was driving, and I had part of the conversation, then I knew what you would say, so I said my part, then you said your part, and then I got to the resolution. We've already talked about this. He hadn't talked to her about it. He had thought it and orchestrated and elaborated the whole thing to completion. He was at the decision. He had reached the decision. She was back at the beginning, and it's like, whoa, there's an assumption there.
Oh, yeah. Man, you're reading my mail now. You know, these are conversations that go on all the time in my relationship.
So the difference between an assumed expectation, and you know, they're going to happen all the time. I thought you were going to stop by and pick up the milk, right, or the kids, or I thought.
Now, I do want to make this statement. I have seen in my own marriage, we've been married for almost 30 years, and I have seen this, that the more we do get to know each other, some of our assumed expectations get better, more accurate.
Oh,
because it's like, for instance, I may be going by the store or something, and I go, oh, you know what? I remember Elaine said something about so-and-so, and oh, I'm going to grab this. This is why we did not want to pit assumption against discussion, as if assumption is all evil, it's all bad, it's never... You grow as you know each other. I think you can make better assumptions about, but still, it doesn't negate the need for discussion.
I think that's a good point, that you can assume something. Once you know someone.
When you really get to know someone.
Yeah, you. But this is later. This is later. Not earlier, right?
And it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't negate the need for discussion on your expectations. It's not like just because we've been married almost 30 years, we never need to talk about what our expectations are for X, Y, or Z.
But she can guess what I'm going to drink when we go out to a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Why? Because she's seen me order over and over and over. It's based on knowing. She can assume because she's already walked through the experience a bunch of times, yeah. right? And I already know what her drink is.
Yeah.
Why? Not because I assumed it, because I've experienced it. Now I know.
Exactly, yeah.
That's good. So then the whole point is discussion of what you want and your expectations and how you think things could go this weekend or next month or with our money or parenting our kids, right? And this is the dilemma, conversations and communication. And this is where everybody says, well, we have a communication problem, right? We didn't talk about it. Is really what they mean. We didn't work it through.
Mm-hmm.
And so assumed expectations in my head, discussed expectations, two of us talking about how we think it's going to go. And so we planned this great trip. Well, it rained. Well, we'd already talked about what we're going to do. We know what we're going to do. But now, given the rain, can we do two out of three of those things? You know, now we're a team working together on a plan. Because we already had some dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So consulting, planning together, two parties working on one idea. What do you think we ought to do about the money this month? You know, is there anything we can cut back? Or how do you, I know you like to golf, and so how do we work your golf in? And when you're golfing, I'll go do my hobby and do my thing. And how are we discussing what's going to happen, our expectations versus assuming. Yeah.
And I think sometimes this is, there can be a connection between assumed expectations and discussed expectations. For instance, when there has been an instance in which an assumed expectation is realized, meaning like, oh, wait a second, we're not on the same page here. You expected what? And I didn't expect that. Now you can have a discussion about, okay, well, what are we going to do about it? Right. So sometimes it's even out of our assumed expectations that we can get to, oh, we need to discuss this. We've never talked about, who's going to be cooking tonight? Oh, okay. We both sat down at the table and we were thinking the other person was going to do it. Well, what are we going to do? We need to have a discussion about this. So again, we don't want to make you think assumed expectations are all negative and all bad. It's like out of that, you can have a discussion. Like, oh, I thought you were going to do that. No, I thought you were going to do that.
I think that's right.
Well, let's talk about it.
Starting point right there. And, you know, when you think it through, we're talking, we're connecting, we're bonding, we're expressing our best thoughts on a topic, and we're sort of negotiating, mm-hmm. right? When you discuss things, you have to negotiate and barter and say, okay, we'll get you a new pair of shoes this month. And next month, we'll buy my new shoes. You know, we're back and forth in our dialogue, in our sacrifice, in our planning. Noah said, assumptions are easy. I'm in control of the whole process.
Exactly. It's all in my head, right?
Yeah. But dialogue is hard. Back and forth, negotiating, talking, going deeper. Dealing with, you get scared, then you get mad. We still got to talk about it. We still got to work on oneness. And really, that's what this comes down to, is how did two people become one? They discussed life and challenges and expectations and hopes and wants and dreams. And when in the discussion, they found common ground and they worked together side by side to get further than either one would get alone.
And I think part of this too is that you learn along the way as you discuss these expectations and you start really doing life together. You're moving in the same direction. You realize you have all of the same major goals. So it's not as if, but you may have different perspectives on how to reach them and that.
Yes.
And what you discover along the way is that your spouse is not just an addition to your life. Like, hey, really, I'm going this direction and hey, you want to come along with, and you just be sort of an addition. You start to realize that you're meant to be, like you said, one. And so therefore you're learning to share life together. And when you do that, you realize it's far richer because Stephen, how many times in my marriage have I not even come close to having an idea that my wife has about something? And I go, I hadn't even thought of that.
Oh, that's right.
So it's like, it's not even in the realm of my thinking. And if she had not been part of my life, guess what? I never would have experienced whatever that thought was that she had about something that we were going to do.
You know what pops into my head about that is that my wife would meet somebody and go, he's not a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'd been with this guy. I thought he was okay. It's what you said. She saw something. She sensed something in her spirit.
That we wouldn't have even known.
Yeah. That we didn't get.
Yeah.
And then later it plays out.
And you know what? It happens the other way too. There are things that I've shared with my wife that she's like, you think differently. I never even would have thought of that. You know, so it's the togetherness. You learn that together.
Wow.
And I think it's even exponential. It's not like 1 + 1 = 2. It's almost like 1 × 1 = 10. So there's a sense in which what you bring together when you're discussing these expectations and you're coming to conclusions together, you go, you know what? That's like 10 times better than what if we had just done these things individually and just said, let's add the other person into this. Instead, it's like, no, there's a multiplying effect there that goes, this is way richer than if we just done it on our own.
I got to tell the story. We sort of trigger each other as we go along in these dialogues, and we hope the stories are entertaining or useful because the idea that we can sense something. So we go to a little church, my wife walks out before I do. Everybody's leaving, and I'm talking to my friend. She's talking to him, and she walks out. And there's this guy standing at the door, and he sort of pulls her aside and talks to her. Okay. Next Sunday, same thing. Third Sunday, same thing. And I'm saying, do you know, I think that guy's hitting on you. What? No, I was just he was talking to me about the sermon. That guy's hitting on you. He's pulling you aside. He's standing every Sunday at the same spot. When you walk out that same door, he's always, and he's grabbing you. You know, she didn't know that.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I did.
Yeah.
And I said, we're going to change the routine.
Right.
Because you're not walking out the door. I'm walking with you out that door, and we're going to break this little pattern right here.
Yeah.
But it's the whole, and that I'm talking about awareness that each of us has, and I'm playing off what you said, was that perceptions are different between husbands, and together we're better.
Yeah. And what would you say as we kind of get closer to finishing? I mean, what would you say to the guys that are out there that feel stuck or scared on like, man, I don't know how to do this well. I don't know how to, you know what, I work, you know, when you were telling about driving in the car and having this full conversation, did we already talk about that? That's me. I do that all in my head, and then I just sort of present to my wife what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. What would be some first steps for guys to just start to engage these types of discussions with their wife to be more about discussing expectations rather than just assuming them?
Well, and as we were talking earlier, I put assume and I wrote next to it, me. Assume is all about me, right? Discussion is about us. So if, you know, what you just said is brilliant. If you can say what you do, you can change what you do.
Mm.
But see, if you spent your whole life doing the same routine and making your pronouncements to your wife, and she goes, well, you got, it's okay. I got this. Follow me. I don't need your thoughts. Shut up. Follow me. It's resolved. Just do this. She becomes less. You become less. See, when we can see what we're doing and we realize that that's like a disservice, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you might solve a bunch of nice things, but you still have to go and invite her into the dialogue. So, and you can even tell her, I ran a scenario and I've got this great solution, but I got to bring you up to speed. So let me back up now, right? Because you understand, if you come in with solution, it's like, why do you need another adult? You don't. You're it. You're the two adults. You think for both of us. You solve problems for both. You tell me, you don't need me. I'm just the follow along person. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. There's a sense in which we're wanting to be invitational towards the other of saying, I need you to be included in what's going on. So even if somebody's come up with a great idea and says, man, we need to run with this, it's not just saying, I'm going to present this to you so you can be my yes person,
right,
and just say we do this. I'm actually sharing this with you because I've been thinking about it, but I need your input. I need to include
yes.
you. How can we make this better? Maybe how does it need to be steered in a different direction and have more of that inclusion
absolutely.
Rather than just, can you give me a thumbs up?
Yes.
You know?
And I think I need to go home and talk to my wife about this. First, because I want to check my own thinking. Mm-hmm. And then second, she's going to add something that I missed. And that's the combination where things are so much better.
And I will say this, as somebody who typically is an internal processor and planner and prefers to just make a presentation and wow everybody, I will say this. One of the things that I'm having to learn year after year is the earlier that I can include my wife in that thought process, the better. In other words, rather than getting all the way to the end where I've got my full 20-minute presentation all wrapped up in a neat little bow with slides and everything, and then say, here, I'm going to present it. That doesn't feel as inclusive as right. if when the idea phase is happening about something, I go, hey, what do you think about this? And then it can be formed together.
Yes.
And I still got a long way to go on that. But that to me is a good exercise, especially for you, those of you that are more of the internal processor and planner and presenter, is try to be more inclusive on the front end of those thoughts and those ideas.
That's good. We're just better together.
Yeah.
You know, and God knew that. That's the plan. Two becoming one. That's the journey. God yeah. bless you guys.
And so just as a reiteration, not all assumptions are bad, but what we need to do to grow together in our marriage is we've got to discuss. We've got to talk about these expectations so that we're not just blindsiding each other with assumptions that end up being painful and hurtful. And so we hope that this has helped you take some positive next steps
and
in your marriage.
And you can use the sponge on the sink and on the stovetop. Sorry, I messed up. But yeah, you can use the sponge, everyone.
I don't know. If you want to argue with Stephen about that, put it in the comments section. So
thanks.
We'll get a lot of feedback about that. But we're always glad you've been with us, and we look
Thank
forward
you.
To seeing you next time on the Pure Sex Radio program.
God bless.
Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.